I'm going to read from the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, chapter 19 and verse 15. And we have here the account of the towns of Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed and Lot and his family escaping. Verse 15 of Genesis chapter 19. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Then Lot said to them, "Please, no, my lords, indeed now your servant has found favour in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, the city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said, "See, I have favoured you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities which grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And this evening I'd like us to consider the wife of Lot. You'll be pleased to learn that this evening we're also doing something which the Lord commanded. In Luke 17:32, he said, and it is the second shortest verse of the Bible, "Remember Lot's wife." Remember Lot's wife. We don't know her name. We don't know much about her at all. So why or how could we remember her? Because of the one thing she's famous for: looking back. So we know that God had determined to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot and his wife were living there in Sodom, and it would appear that they were making quite a good living out of it. It would seem that Sodom was a very wealthy and a powerful place. It was immoral, it was filthy, but it was also wealthy and it was powerful. It sounds very much like some places on earth today, does it not? Curiously, not a lot of people will notice, of course, but in verse 16, when Lot is being urged to escape, we're told he lingered. In other words, they had a stake in Sodom. It was where they had a home. It's where they headed when they left Abraham and his family. He probably had a business there. Perhaps he imagined one day he would have a position of prominence there. Maybe as a preacher of righteousness, he wanted to reform it and try and improve it. But God had already determined he was going to destroy it. And so he, his wife and his daughters are urged by these angelic beings disguised as men to escape, to run away. And Lot kind of has a bit more negotiation with them about just exactly how far he has to run. A little bit curious, perhaps. And yet there we have it in verse 26, but his wife looked back behind him. What was the big deal of looking back? Well, they'd been told not to. Escape for your life, in verse 17. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Five very clear instructions. And of course, we might say that looking behind or looking back wasn't such a major crime. as they are running away along the plain, away from the city. I imagine that there were interesting fireworks coming down from heaven. It would have been a very, very unusual, incredible sight to see the judgment of God poured out upon that city. What was the problem with turning around? Why was watching it such a problem? Well, reason number one already stated, they were told not to. It's God who determines right from wrong. We are poor moral judges, and that is why we judge things by God's word, not by our emotions or our feelings or our own instinct. She was told not to. It might be that she had a sense of regret or remorse about leaving behind that house she had made her home. But God had already determined to destroy it. In the same way that we have quite lovely lives here in the West, don't we? There might be problems with the country. We might not always be happy with the government of the day. But by and large, we have enough to eat. We have enough to wear. We can go on holidays. We can decorate our homes. But everything on this planet is reserved for fire. Everything we have, we will lose. Only Jesus Christ is what we have and can keep. He is the only one worth keeping. And he's the one, thank God, who will keep hold of us. So maybe her turning back was a regret that she's leaving behind that dreadful city. And yet we know how wicked it was. Her daughters know how wicked it was. Why did she want to go back? Maybe in that action, she demonstrated that she wasn't really a follower of God. She wasn't herself righteous. She had been taken out of Sodom. But Sodom, perhaps, had not quite been taken out of her. Furthermore, if she was entertained or was fascinated by the judgment as it happened, that also might bespeak a certain ungodliness in her heart. We don't enjoy the prospect of the wicked being judged. We know it will happen. And we know it will be righteous and it will be proportionate. But we don't take pleasure in it. Furthermore, she should have looked forward, because God had rescued this woman and her family because he had somewhere better for them to go to. When Israel, the children of Israel, left Egypt and they were in the wilderness, they often grumbled about the manna and the quail which God had provided, and they longed for the cucumbers of Egypt. They forgot the forced labour and the lashes of the overseer. But they remembered the food. Remember where you've come from. We might not be dreadfully wicked people by the standards of the world, yet in reality, we've turned our back upon the darkness. We've turned our back upon spiritual ignorance and idolatry. And the Christian path is not easy, but it's better than where we were. And where we're going is not only better than where we were, it's also better than where we are. Lot's wife, by turning around, wasn't able to behold Zoar that the Lord had provided for her to shelter in, but was rather looking back. It might also be that, in one respect, this is symbolic of living in the past instead of the present or the future. I like the fact that in Scripture, God is sometimes called the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The God of the patriarchs is our God. And yet Jesus said he's not the God of the dead, but of the living. He's the God of the here and now. He's the God of tomorrow as well as being the God of yesterday. He is timeless. Sometimes we look at the past with rose-tinted spectacles, how things used to be better. It said when the second temple was erected in Jerusalem, replacing the one which Nebuchadnezzar tore down, the older folk were not rejoicing with the younger ones, they wept. The younger ones were happy that a temple has been rebuilt in our day. The older ones compared it to the temple of Solomon and saw that it wasn't as good. In other words, they were looking back instead of looking to what God had for them. The temple, of course, was a sign that Jesus would come. And when Jesus came, the Jewish hierarchy were more interested in the temple before them instead of the Lord Jesus, the real temple of God. They were looking back instead of looking forward. And it might be that people who have been part of a church for a long time can remember the glory days, how it used to be better. The sermons were more eloquent, the people were more friendly, the food was better, the weather was nicer, more people got saved. Well, it doesn't happen anymore. Don't keep looking back, but look forward. Because when you're looking forward, you're looking to God and what God has for you. I don't suspect that Mrs. Lot was simply living in the past. I suspect her heart was in Sodom, and that's why she received the judgment of God. And that's the main point this evening. But the Lord Jesus specifically said, remember Lot's wife. So although we know nothing about her, really apart from what she does at the very end, the Lord wants us not to forget that. Why she turns into a pillar of salt, I'm not quite sure. Salt in scripture is usually a good thing. It's a preservative. It's something which adds savour. But certainly Josephus, a Roman Jewish writer in the first century, he said that there was a pillar of salt on that plain in his day. So when Jesus said, remember Lot's wife, chances are there were people he was speaking to who had been out in the desert and they saw this strange object, which would have been the wife of Lot, still serving there as a reminder or as a warning. Don't look back. Keep looking up. Keep looking forward. Don't let the past, don't let the present drag you down and tie you up. Remember that God has plans for you. They're not always going to be easy. I don't suppose life in Zoar would have been as commodious as life in Sodom, but it was far better than being a pillar of salt. So look to the future. Look to God. Look for blessing to come instead of that which has been and gone. Amen.